722, Ted Dabrowski of WirePoints joining us this morning. Morning, Ted. How are you, buddy?
Doing great, Tom. How are you?
Good. I called Ted earlier, and I've read several articles on, you know, the census and its effect here on the state of Illinois. And I talked to Ted, and he says, you know what? Yeah, let me do some work on that. And Ted actually texted me some of the work last night, and my takeaway upon the headline was almost nearly across-the-board loss county by county in the state of Illinois.
Yeah, we've got 102 counties in Illinois, and 93 of them have shrunk between 2010 and 2019. And it's a really sad picture. We're bleeding people, and it's hard to have a prosperous, growing, thriving state when all of your counties are bleeding people.
It's interesting. I was speaking with the Heron Mayor, Vic Ritter, many years ago, and he says, if your town's not growing, you're dying. And I thought that was interesting because when you look at it that way, I said, you know, just a handful of counties grew. I was surprised in downstate to not see Williamson County on the growth list. What other counties are seeing a population growth?
Well, we only had 9 counties to see population growth out of 102, right? So so we have the list here, and so the collar counties gained at the expense of Cook County, right? So people keep fleeing Cook County. Cook County had the second largest loss of people in the whole country.
Ted, I was reading something on this a short time ago. The only top 10 metropolitan city in the United States to lose population, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, Chicago, exactly. Yeah, so that's the problem. So they're escaping Chicago and Cook County to move to the collars. So the collars are the only thing growing, but they barely grow. And what's happening is that all of our, just very few counties are growing. So you got Champaign, DuPage grew. Of course, Will and Kendall, those are the collar counties, are right next to Cook County. And then you got Monroe, Grundy, and Williamson, and that's it. After that, everything else shrunk.
Where are they going?
Well, they're going everywhere. And, when we lose people from Illinois, 43 out of the 49 other states are winners when it comes to taking population from Illinois. Of course, the big winners are Texas and Florida, Arizona. They have counties that are just growing massively. Well, we're losing people. They're growing like crazy. You got places like Maricopa, Arizona, with 600,000 gained in that 10-year span. Others that have gained 200, 300, 400. Cook County lost almost 50,000 people.
Do we know enough about the census now to get an idea of just how much representation we'll lose in Washington?
Well, we used to have at our peak, we used to have 26 representatives in Washington, and we may be down as low as 16. And, when you think about that, Illinois used to be a powerful state. We used to be the fifth largest state. Now we're the sixth. And that representation meant that, we would have power in Congress in terms of what happens. Now with 16, we're just shrinking. If it hits 16, it might be 17. We're shrinking. Our influence is shrinking. Now, some people will celebrate that and say, hey, the way Illinois is running its state, we should have lower representation across the country. But, if we want to have eventually a great state again, one that's growing and thriving, then we'd want to have more representation.
So we lose representation, but there's also another bump, and that's the economic impact when those wage earners, those taxpayers, leave.
Well, that's the real issue, right? When you look at city by city and county by county, when you lose your population by the way we're losing, by the amounts we're losing, then, the restaurants can't stay open. The small businesses can't stay open. They can't hire people because there's not enough good people who stay. Usually you lose your young, talented people who go to Texas or Atlanta or Houston or somewhere. And so then you just can't maintain your tax base. You can't maintain the quality of your city product. And it just becomes a death spiral. And many of our cities are in death spirals. And if it wasn't for state funds that come via, grants and things like that, a lot of cities wouldn't be able to stay functioning. So we're in a real death spiral. And I think what it says, it always leads back to our policies and our politics. Our brand of Illinois policy and Illinois politics are failing and people are fleeing. And until we flip those on their head, we're not going to get people to stay.
When will we know about representation and remapping? When's that scheduled for, Ted?
I don't have the precise time in my head here, but we'll know soon. It takes a while for all the census numbers to get done, but don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if we're losers in that as well.
It's interesting. census, I think it was 2 weeks ago, came out with a statement that some of the information was wrong and it was being fixed, and specifically the information involving representation in Springfield. They said there was a delay, there was a problem here, and we're fixing it. I wish they would have picked another word. In Illinois, fix has more than one connotation. So the cure money was one of the issues that, you know, watching here as we're going forward. But also the Special Investigation Committee by Mike Madigan calling a indefinite adjournment, I think was the term I saw. Were you surprised by that, Ted?
I'm not surprised by it, but, you know, it's you'd like to think that things like that would get full investigations, but that's not the politics of Illinois. Even today, you would expect things to get, for Mike Madigan, even harder. But, we're living in a super hyper bipartisan world, and, what should be a slam dunk in terms of a deep, deep investigation won't happen.
You saw the comments by the governor yesterday on something you and I have talked about a lot, and that's the budget. I know where you and I weren't necessarily planning, but, you know, the governor saying yes to talk about this, but, you know, we saw this come out in the press conference yesterday saying, the governor saying it's been 2 years since Republicans announced their wholesale opposition to the fair tax. This is directly from the press conference transcript from yesterday, and he says it's been 40 days since the election, and they've yet to produce any viable answers to balancing the budget. It turns out the Republicans have no plan at all to put the state on firm fiscal foundation. Have the Republicans ever come up with a unified, let's get this problem solved plan? Is there a plan being worked on somewhere in Washington, in Springfield, by the Republicans?
You know, I don't know of one. I don't hear of one. Of course, I'm not talking to them. But, you know, I would love to see the Republicans take a stand and say, you know, they've opposed tax hikes. They should be putting out the big proposals to say, here's our plan to fix it, and, you know, give Pritzker something to push against. But, I think we're about to put out a piece in just a few minutes on Pritzker's comments. So go to wirepoints.org and see that. We're doing the same thing we do every year. We try to plug some kind of hole. We do some magic of some tax hikes, some borrowing, some canned kicks, some gimmicks, and we plug it. And then we have the same problem next year, but the debts are a lot bigger every year. So, we have to stop doing it that way, and that's the purpose of our piece. We need to have a five-year, seven-year plan that addresses all the issues properly, structurally. You know, pension amendment and a pension reform is the key part of that. And, you know, the Republicans and the Democrats, I don't care. It's a bipartisan thing. It's a bipartisan failure in this state. And people, you know, the reason we talk about fleeing people is because it's exactly that. If you don't fix it, people leave. And so we want to see a proper long-term plan. And we at WirePoints are willing to help. We've laid out the pension reform plan. That's key. That's center. But until Pritzker and others decide to actually fix things, we're just going to keep plugging a hole that, it's kind of like, well, anyway, we're plugging a hole and the things keep getting worse.
Right. And borrowing another $2 billion this week.
Yeah. So, again, you know, this is, sorry to say, but it's a pathetic action. We're the only state in the whole country that had to go. We're the only one to borrow from the Fed and the only one that had to go there because we couldn't get the money elsewhere. And, every other state and cities across the country have been borrowing billions and billions and billions from the market with no problems at record low rates. We're the ones that have to go to the Federal Reserve because we have no alternative. If we cared, we would actually do the reforms rather than than put the debts on the future.
Recently, Ted and I did a small section just focusing on the math of debt. We came up with a conservative $311 billion. Now, some of that deferred, things along that line, but that still gives you an idea of just how large it is. So my takeaway today from Ted Dabrowski of WirePoints is we're losing people in almost all, very nearly within a single-digit number. We're losing every population in every county out of the 102, while at the same time facing monumental debt. Those two things may seem disassociated, but they are intersecting items that will have a second and third wave of impact.
Well, that's absolutely true because, you know, especially as people leave, the debts don't change. The people can leave and escape the debts, but the debts in Illinois are still there, and that mountain of debt falls on a smaller number of people, so that means taxes go up even more. So that's the interrelation. And I think what we have to realize is that people have two choices, I think. You know, one is to, three choices. One is just to get the hell out of here, and see that happening already. Two is to just ignore it, and things will get worse for them. Or three is to start screaming and saying, hey, you know, my legislator, I want reform, and it starts with pension reform. Give us a pension amendment and pension reform. And if people don't do that, will continue until we don't know what this will look like, but it could turn into financial chaos that we've never seen in this country.